All right, on today's pod, it is college football week 8 review. I'm going to go over the biggest topics of the weekend and whatnot. We'll talk about some interesting things, such as, for example, my current top 12, the undefeated teams that are left, some misleading box scores, etc. So we'll go through quite a bit of that. So let's go on and get to it.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
Welcome in. It is Winning Cures Everything. I am your host, Gary Seegers. Of course, you can follow me on all the different socials at GaryWCE. You guys know what to do by now. BettingCFB.com, WinningCuresEverything.com, the BetUS College Football Show, which you can find the link to in the description. It's every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hop on with Scott on Mondays. I hop on with TJ on Thursdays. Usually, we'll see about this week. But yes, we got a lot going on, so make sure that you are subscribed and that you like all the stuff you're supposed to like and leave all the reviews and all that kind of stuff. I would certainly appreciate it because this is one-man operation, and I am working my rear end off, trying to make sure that we got things going good. All right. It was a long night. There was a lot going on yesterday. There's always something in this crazy, crazy sport. No undefeateds left in the SEC, but we're going to go through just topic by topic, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. And I put this up in writing already at bettingcfb.com, but just bear with me. For the podcast, folks, Georgia dominated Texas. Dominated. Now, 30-15 doesn't sound like domination, but it was 23-0 at the half. It was over early. Georgia had 7 sacks and 10 tackles for loss in this game. The Texas offensive line got smashed repeatedly. Ewers always had somebody coming at him. I don't think that going to Arch and then going back to Ewers was a terrible idea. Like, Arch Manning is more mobile. If you couldn't slow the pursuit of Georgia's front 7, then maybe Manning running could have helped counter that aggressiveness, right? But it didn't make a difference. So they went back to Ewers, and he actually performed better when they came back to him. He needed to be settled down, and it worked. Texas, I mean, it was just a terrible spot overall. 2-14 on third down, 1-5 on fourth down. They never had a chance in this game. Like, they were not ready for that smoke. I think that's the best way that you could put it. Let's talk about the precedent that was set as far as the officiating and whatnot. Kirby talked after the game about how they tried to rob us, et cetera, and he's going to pay. It's fine, and it'll be fine. But it was interesting because we've seen this multiple times this year. We saw it in the Miami-Virginia Tech game, but it's been just all across the board. We're not worried about anything like conclusive evidence or whatever. If refs feel like they made the wrong call, then they just fix it. And there's no, like, this is kind of what we wanted, right? That was not a defensive pass interference. So Texas should have gotten the interception, and they should have gotten the ball back. The problem is the precedent that it sets where it took you that long to talk about it. And the reason that you got that long in the first place is because Texas students threw a bunch of crap on the field. So now fans are going to think, well, if we throw enough crap on the field, then maybe they'll change a call and it goes our way. You obviously don't want that. So the SEC is out there getting ahead of it, trying to, you know, and same with Texas. They're trying to reprimand their fans and whatnot. Nobody will ever get in real trouble for this. We're just going to see what ends up happening going forward. Because you know in the SEC that once you've seen somebody do that, now there's going to be more people do that. So once you realize that the consequences are not nearly as bad as what you got out of it, I mean, it ain't good. it definitely ain't good. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But Texas, I mean, this was a terrible game. It got off to a terrible start. There ain't nobody in the business that is as good as Kirby Smart when it comes to motivating a team and making them think that nobody believes in them. And to be fair, this week there were a lot more people that believed in Texas than believed in Georgia because Georgia had played like crap. They just had. I had a power rated like 10th last week. Like, their numbers were not good at all. And yet, here they are dominating what we thought was the best team in college football. So it is what it is. Moving on to topic number two. Tennessee beats Alabama 24-17. And this felt like neither team actually won the game. Alabama blew a fourth quarter lead, which does not happen often. But honestly, between the Tennessee turnovers and missed field goals and all that, they probably should have been leading anyway. Tennessee had 408 yards of total offense. Where the game was won was the line of scrimmage. Tennessee, 214 rushing yards to only 75 for Alabama. It shouldn't have been close. Like, it should have never been close. Tennessee's post-game win expectancy was 90% in this game. And what I'm still questioning is, how in the world did this Alabama team beat Georgia? Jalen Milroe played just atrociously bad in this game. College football nerds, and I'm sure some of you guys have seen them, but college football nerds put out that, let's see, I think in the Nick Saban era, no, since 2017 maybe? Let's see. Well, I had it, and now I don't know where it is. Okay, I will find it. They had not had a quarterback performance in a game that was under 100 in QB rating since, I don't even know how long. They had one last year against South Florida when they played Tyler Buchner. But, I mean, it is just, it's rough. Here we go. In the 8 years since a true freshman, Jalen Hurts, lost the 2016 national championship game, Alabama has had just two games with under a 100 QB rating. And that was 2023 versus South Florida and 2024 versus Tennessee. It says that's how historically bad Jalen Milroe was today. I mean, that's rough. That's rough. He was not good. There were many, many open receivers. But the issue isn't the receivers. The issue is the 214 rushing yards to only 75 for Alabama. They have got to be able to establish the line of scrimmage, and they can't do it. And Tennessee, what's funny is Nico was playing like complete crap, and then he got hit really hard by linebacker, safety, whoever it was. Went out of the game. They threw a pick. He came back in, and all of a sudden he's playing better than he has the whole game. So sometimes you just need to get shaken up a little bit. Topic number three, Indiana. Indiana over Nebraska here, and it was, I mean, Cignetti's bunch passed the first test of the season with absolute flying colors. 56-7? What are we talking about? Indiana outgained them 495-304. It was not just one person that went off in this thing for Indiana. It was 28-7 at the half. Seven different Hoosiers scored touchdowns in this game. Justice Ellison was the only one to get two. Like, Curtis Rourke was efficient, 17 out of 21 passing, 189 yards, one touchdown, one pick. He hurts his finger. Taven Jackson came in the second half, 7 of 8, 91 yards passing, two touchdowns, no picks. Like, this team believes in themselves, or themselves, however you want to say that, but they are fantastic. They are insanely well-coached. They are disciplined. They believe in what they are doing. It is, I can't believe that this is Indiana. I just can't. They are so good. And now they get College Game Day this week against a Midland Washington team. Like, what? Sometimes you got to celebrate what you got to celebrate. You may not have another chance to go. So Lee Corso going back to Indiana, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. I hope he's healthy enough to get there. So, looked fine last week. All right, Iowa State and BYU survive again. So the Big 12 still has two teams that are undefeated. BYU's post-game win expectancy against Oklahoma State on Friday was only 20%. Iowa State's post-game win expectancy against UCF was only 18%. Both won by three at home against teams that looked absolutely dead. UCF and Oklahoma State looked like they had just used the Q word and they were done, right? BYU was minus one in turnovers. They got outrushed. They let Oklahoma State convert 11 of 15 third and fourth downs, and they trailed 35-31 with a minute 13 left. And that was on the back end of giving up a 17-play, 76-yard touchdown drive. And then they turn around, and the BYU went 8 plays, 75 yards, in 102 to score the game-winning touchdown. So 38-35 BYU on Friday night. And then you look at Iowa State, and that one was more complex. But for us to simplify it, Iowa State threw a pick six with a minute 18 left in the second quarter. They did not lead in the game again until they scored the game winner late fourth quarter. UCF had an 80-yard touchdown run, a 67-yard touchdown run, a 63-yard pick six, a 1-yard touchdown after an Iowa State fumble. But the Cyclones went on an 11-play, 80-yard drive in a minute 18 to score the game winner with 30 seconds left. So they won 38-35. Somehow these two do not play in the regular season. I don't know that either team is going to end the season undefeated. But they are really fun to watch. And luck does play a lot in some of this stuff sometimes. But man, they are what a fantastic bunch of teams for the Big 12 this year. Two teams that nobody expected to be up there. I know people were talking about Iowa State's returning production, but everybody thought there was a ceiling on it, and there might still be for both of these teams. But for right now, I mean, they undefeated at week 9. Like, let's go. Let's go. Let's see, moving on. Next topic. Two coaches that needed wins in the absolute worst way. Billy Napier and Dave Aranda, of course, Florida's coach, Baylor's coach. They got huge ones. Florida smoked Kentucky 48-20. Baylor dropped Texas Tech 59-35. Whew. Like, it just absolute whippings. Texas Tech, like, Baylor's offense exploded. Sawyer Robertson had 5 touchdowns, I believe it was. Florida outgained Kentucky by 167 yards. They were plus 2 in turnovers. Kentucky threw a pick 6 late. Like, Florida outrushed Kentucky. They had 5 rushing touchdowns in this game. It gets Florida to 4-3 before the gauntlet begins. Up next, you got Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and then at Florida State. Like, you need two of them to make a bowl. Georgia, Texas, LSU, and Ole Miss. And then Florida State, yeah, you can handle Florida State. So you need one of these, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss. You got three of them, well, two of them at home, one of them neutral. Then you got to go to Texas. We'll see what they do. We will see what they do. But so far, like, they looked a lot better last night. And Dave Aranda, Baylor, let's see what Baylor's got left, because they are going through it. I think they need three to make a bowl game. So they got Oklahoma State, TCU, at West Virginia, at Houston, and Kansas. Okay, like, maybe. Like, would it surprise anybody to see them beat Oklahoma State and TCU in back-to-back weeks? Both of them are in Waco. And then you got a bye week before you go to West Virginia, to Houston. Maybe you can get one of those. And then Kansas at the end of the year at home. Very interesting. Very interesting for Napier and Aranda. Both of them want to make bowl games. We'll see. Miami handled Louisville 52-45. And watching the offenses of both Shannon Dawson and Jeff Brohm was awesome. Miami 11 of 17 on third and fourth down. Both teams went 100% in the red zone. Miami outgained Louisville, and the difference was on the ground, right? Miami ran for 219 yards to the Cardinals' 106. That is why Miami's postgame win expectancy was 98% here in a one-possession game. They were in complete control of the game. It was 52-38 with not much time left, and Louisville went down, scored, kicked an onside kick. You know, is what it is. Louisville played catch-up basically all day. Like, Cam Ward is now your Heisman favorite. He's plus 240. Ginty is plus 250. Dylan Gabriel's plus 450. In Miami, you look at the remainder of their schedule, this was the test they had to get through. They still got FSU this week, Duke, at Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and at Syracuse to close out the ACC. They're going to be huge favorites in every game. Like, Miami looks absolutely legit. This is why they paid Cam Ward. The guy's a video game. Let's talk about USC and Oklahoma. Of course, I'm going to pair those together, right? Like, those two, that's a lot of fun. because they don't like each other for whatever reason. Both of them, I mean, they're reeling right now. USC loses late again, this time to Maryland, 29-28, and Oklahoma got stomped at home by South Carolina. I mean, it's rough. It's real rough. Lincoln Riley. I mean, these schedule spots are just atrocious for USC. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. USC was up 28-14 early in the fourth quarter. They won the turnover battle, plus one. They held Maryland to only 2.33 yards per rush, and they held Maryland to 2 of 13 on third down, but they got outgained, and they lost the game, 429-417. They lost the game 29-28. The little celebration that the quarterback did, Billy Edwards and the running back, once they got the win, like, Edwards tossed the ball back, and the running back caught it and slams the ball because Edwards makes a little hoop with his arms. Like, that was awesome. That's pure college joy, pure college fun. What a difference a week makes for Maryland. They got blasted last week. Lost 37-10 at home to Northwestern. Everyone was calling for Locksley's job. I was part of that. I was like, if you can't get it figured out by now, what are we doing? You're at home against a Northwestern team that's bringing in another new quarterback. But regardless, I mean, they got the win against USC, and that's a big win regardless of whether or not USC is any good. So, for USC, they are now 3-4. They need 3 wins to go bowling. Good luck with that. They got Rutgers at home this Friday. They got at Washington. You got a bye week. Then you got Nebraska at UCLA and Notre Dame. Find me 3 of those. Like, maybe you get Rutgers this week. Maybe you get Washington. And then maybe you get... So you get one of either Washington or Nebraska. You get UCLA. You get Rutgers. I don't think you're getting Notre Dame this year. But we'll see. Can you get 3 of them? And as far as Riley's old place of employment, at one point in the South Carolina-Oklahoma game, South Carolina had 76 yards of total offense, and they were up 24-0 in the first half. That should tell you everything you need to know. The Sooners, like, this performance was abysmal, atrocious. Oklahoma outgained the Gamecocks 291-254. Neither team got to 300. But Oklahoma averaged 1.3 yards per carry on 41 rushing attempts. Like, it wasn't working, and they still kept going. They lost the turnover battle, -4. Oklahoma now sitting at 4-3. They got to go to Ole Miss. They've got their 5th win with Maine coming to town. But they close at Missouri, home against Alabama, and at LSU. So you got to find one win in there, right? You have to find a win between Ole Miss, Missouri, Alabama, and LSU. Good freaking luck. All right, let me tell you right quick about TicketSmarter and the TicketSmarter mobile app. Of course, tickets are expensive to everything that you want to go to. Do yourself a favor. Save money every single time you buy tickets by using our promo code, WCE10. It's going to get you 10 bucks off an order of $100 or more. WCE20 is going to get you 20 bucks off an order of $300 or more. It's very easy to do. You just go to TicketSmarter.com, and when you're ready to check out, you put in that promo code, and you can do it every single time you buy tickets. So if you're wanting to go to some of these massive college football games, because there's going to be a lot of stakes up in November, I would highly recommend going to some games. But if you just want to go to a concert, I know, like, Justin Timberlake's coming to Memphis pretty soon. I mean, that ain't my thing, but it might be your thing. And I know tickets are going to be expensive because it's Justin Timberlake. Everybody loves that guy for whatever reason. I mean, I like the guy. I don't know the guy, but still. Do yourself a favor. Use the promo codes WCE10 or WCE20. If you're going to be buying tickets and stuff anyway, why not save money in the process? Go to TicketSmarter.com. Think smarter. Ticket smarter.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, carrying on. Illinois just controlled Michigan from start to finish. 21-7 was the win there. It should be a crime for a team like Michigan that's got so many resources to bring in good players to put out an offense like this. They outgained Illinois 322 to 267. The shocking thing was the fact that the teams had the same number of rushing attempts, 38, and Illinois outrushed Michigan 187 to 114. But that's not what you expected, right? That Illinois only needed 80 yards passing to beat Michigan by two touchdowns. Now, granted, Michigan was minus three in turnovers. That likely had a bunch to do with this. But this Michigan team, they threw for over 200 yards in this game. That is not what you would have expected. So Michigan now sitting at 4-3, which is the same record as Michigan State now. That's pretty wild, isn't it? They still got Michigan State coming up. They've got Oregon at Indiana and at Ohio State left on the schedule. So you got to get two of those. I mean, what are we talking about? You got to get two games if you are Michigan. You're playing Michigan State, Oregon, at Indiana. You got Northwestern and at Ohio State. So if you beat Northwestern at home, that gives you five wins. Who are you beating out of Michigan State, Oregon, at Indiana, at Ohio State? If they don't win against Michigan State, I don't think this team's going bowling. How wild is that? We could have two straight years where somebody that was in the national title game does not make a bowl game the following year, because TCU did that. That's rough. That's rough. My current playoff projections, all right, so I'll give you my top 12 after week 8, because I stayed up way too late going over this last night. But I'll give you my top 12 first. All right, my top 12, we'll start at number 12. I've got Notre Dame 12. I've got Iowa State number 11. Tennessee, I put in at number 10. Indiana, number 9. Clemson, 8. LSU, 7. Texas, all the way back to 6. Miami, 5. Ohio State, 4. Penn State, 3. Georgia, 2. Oregon, number 1. And you know what? While we're on this anyway, I'm going to bet that ESPN has updated. We're well past 12 o'clock, so we should be. The ranking should be out. So let's see what's up. What does the AP have? Did I nail this thing last night or did I not? All right, so they've got Texas 5, Miami 6. They moved Tennessee all the way up to 7? Why? That team is still not good. LSU 8, Clemson 9, Iowa State 10, BYU 11. They got Notre Dame 12 and Indiana 13. They are, so A&M is 14, Alabama 15. But they are underestimated. Indiana is better than BYU and Iowa State. I don't think it's actually close. I think Indiana's better than Tennessee right now. I think it's better than Notre Dame. So what are we doing? Anyway, all right, so that's neither here nor there. My playoff currently, I'd have Oregon as the one seed, and they would play the winner of number 8 LSU, who would host a game against Clemson in Death Valley, which, well, you want to talk about the fight for Death Valley. That'd be such a good matchup. Number 2, Georgia, against number 7, Texas, or number 10, Indiana. And remember, this is the playoff seeding, so you get the point. Number 3, Miami, would play either number 6, Ohio State, or number 11, Tennessee. That'd be fun. And then number 4, Iowa State, would play either number 5, Penn State, or number 12, Boise. That'd be a fun playoff. I mean, it just would. I don't know what else to tell you. All right, undefeated teams that are left over. We only got, I think we got 11 of them, if I counted right. 11 undefeated teams left. Army is 7-0. Their next game, they got a bye, and then they've got Air Force. They've only got, by the way, Army only has 2 AAC games left. They're 6-0 in the conference already. They're 7-0, but they're 6-0 in the conference. They got UTSA left on the schedule. They got North Texas left. Army is going to be in the AAC championship game. Navy is 6-0. They are playing next against Notre Dame this week. And I think that they're only 4-0 in conference. So we'll see what happens with them. Miami is 7-0. They play Florida State this week. Pitt Yeah, kind of forgot about the Panthers this week, didn't you? Pitt is 6-0. They play Syracuse on Thursday night, and that is a massive game. We got some huge midweek games this week. Like, the weeknight games are really good. So, Pitt hosting Syracuse on Thursday, and then on Friday, you got UNLV and Boise State. BYU is 7-0. They play at UCF this week. Iowa State is 7-0. They've got a bye week, and then they host Texas Tech. You got Indiana at 7-0. We brought them up already. They play Washington this week with College Game Day in attendance. Penn State is 6-0. They play at Wisconsin this week, and that's going to be a huge game because Wisconsin appears to have gotten some things figured out. Oregon, 6-0. Of course, they were off this well, not off this week. They played Purdue on Friday, but regardless. But they play Illinois, who is 6-1. Going to be an interesting game. And then finally, last one, Liberty, 5-0. They play at Kennesaw State next. Liberty, I don't think they're going to end the season undefeated. Liberty plays at Kennesaw State this Wednesday. They host Jacksonville State next Wednesday. They play at Middle Tennessee, at UMass. They host Western Kentucky. They got both Jack State and Western Kentucky at home. And then they close the season at Sam Houston on a Friday, on Black Friday. Very interesting. Very interesting. We do have some crazy conference leaders so far. Army 6-0 in the AAC. Pitt is one of four ACC teams that's undefeated in conference. They're only 2-0 in the league heading into Week 8, so they've only had two conference games, which is pretty wild. In the Big 12, BYU and Iowa State are both 4-0, but you do have a hodgepodge here. Texas Tech, Cincy, Colorado, and Kansas State are all 3-1 right behind them. In the Big 10, you got Indiana, Oregon, and Penn State all undefeated, and Illinois, Wisconsin, and Ohio State are all behind them with just one league loss. In Conference USA, Liberty, Western Kentucky, and Jack State are all undefeated in league play. In the MAC, the only team that's undefeated in league play right now is Western Michigan. They are 3-0. There are six other teams with only one conference loss. Just bananas. Northern Illinois, by the way, the team that beat Notre Dame, they're 1-2 in the conference. In the Mountain West, I would imagine we're all following UNLV and Boise. Those are the conference unbeatens. But tied with them unbeaten, these two are 2-0 in the conference, Colorado State and San Diego State. So those are some to pay attention to. In the SEC, only A&M and LSU are unbeaten, and they play this week. You got Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Missouri, and Vanderbilt with only one SEC loss each. I guess the East rises again, I suppose, because you got Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, and Vandy all right there with only one loss. Just bananas. All right, and then we'll close out with this. Misleading box scores. So there were some things, obviously, this week that did not look right. And I'm going to pull this up. Let's see. Bill Conley put out the lowest postgame win expectancy in a win in Week 8. Iowa State only had a 31.4% postgame win expectancy in Bill's numbers. Duke had a 36.5% win expectancy against Florida State. Western Michigan, 40.5% against Buffalo. Eastern Michigan, 42% against Central Michigan. Maryland, 43.6% against USC, and NC State, 49.8% against Cal. He said lots of 50-50 games were about 50-50 on paper, too. I had some different ones. Now, these are from College Football Data, so they use a different formula for this, but I like their formula better. So, Oklahoma State had an 80% postgame win expectancy and lost the game. Auburn had a 77% win expectancy against Missouri, lost the game 21-17. Northern Illinois, 97% postgame win expectancy against Toledo, and lost the game 13-6. USC, 79% postgame win expectancy against Maryland, and UCF, 82% against Iowa State. Like, those were bananas games. Absolutely bananas. There were eight different teams that outgained their opponent in total yards, but ended up losing the game. Florida State, 291-180 over Duke. We talked about that. Buffalo, 551-490 over Western Michigan. UAB, 485-349 over USF. I mean, just good gracious, can you get in the end zone? Rice outgained Tulane, 344-306. Cal outgained NC State, 399-363. Michigan, we talked about that one, 322-267 against Illinois. Northern Illinois, 391 to 286 total yards over Toledo and then North Texas. Good gracious. 653 to 526 over Memphis. Lost the game 52 to 44. That was a crazy game. Absolutely crazy game. All right. I think that's going to wrap things up. Don't forget about Ghost Sleeves. GhostSleeves.com, the best kinesiology compression sleeves on the market. If you got a six-year-old like I do that wants to wrestle all the time and you're 41 years old and your knees ain't quite what they used to be, it helps your elbows, it helps your knees, all of your joints that you need, they've got something for you. So go check them out. GhostSleeves.com/WCE, and it'll get you 15% off whatever your order might be. I think that's going to wrap things up. Don't forget about Three Dog Thursday this week. Don't forget about all the other stuff that you're going to hear from me. Because we put out a bunch of content every week. BettingCFB.com is the site. Go and check it out. I will be putting up all of the different data and whatnot today. So, you guys are fantastic. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully, wait. The BetUS College Football Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday. 1 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you are there. Make sure you are there. All right. That's it. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter @GaryWCE. And the show is @WinningCures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.